Merry Christmas, everyone. We are in this series called God is Near. All right, now, how near is near? Can you tell your neighbor left, right, thank you for sitting near me? Now we have the tagline. I think it's a bit small there. Okay, God is nearer than you think. All right, now, sometimes in our life, especially when you go through tough times, you always think that God is so far away. But let me tell you that God is nearer than you think. Have you ever asked the question, how near is near or how far is far? Right? Because my near cannot be your near and your far cannot be my far. Right? Isn't it true? You know, especially after running half marathon a week ago, okay, December 11. And that is my fourth half marathon. All right? Now, I was just... Before signing up during early of the year, I'll just resume with my WhatsApp with my boys in Australia. Should they do the full marathon? If I do half marathon, this is my fourth. And my both boys say, Daddy, I think you better do half Kennedy. I realize when I do my own training, well, as your age catch up, it's not that easy. All right now. Okay, when you think about you have done 21 km. What is 1 km, man? Yeah, okay. Thank you, Mio. Yeah, what is 1 km? My house from the church is 1 km. You know, I also, do runs, okay? 1 km to church, 1 km, come back, do one loop will be 2 km and things like that. I've also run from my house, okay, all the way to Queens Bay, cross all this flyover and all those. Okay, it comes to a place, it's easy because you keep on doing that, all right? Now, but after running 21 km, you come back on the same morning, even from getting from your bed to the toilet is very far. I don't know how many experience that. True, right? When you just don't feel like it, all right? Even getting down to somewhere is nearby is not easy, all right? So how near is near and how far is far? How many of you know that the longest furniture in your home? Anybody want to try? I know some of you, we always joke this in our family, okay? I know Deborah know that. The longest, okay? What is the longest furniture in your house? Anyone, okay? It's none other than your sofa. Sofa. Sofa, man. Sofa. All right. I don't know whether you have that so far, but that's the longest one in the home, okay? Sometimes in the home, so near, and yet people don't talk to each other, all right? There are clashes, there are conflict, and so on. And this, even they stay under the same roof, but distance-wise in the relationship and the heart is so, okay, far. You know, in some of the Christmas party, okay, that I spoke on, and I asked the question is, how near is the moon from Earth? Anybody want to give a try? Okay, students. Yes, Sun Seng. Any idea? All right, now. The distance between a moon from Earth is 384,400 km. All right? And that is the distance. But sometimes we say, I love you, go to the moon and back. Well, that's very far, you know. I don't know whether you do the maths before or not. No, I try to do the maths. Okay, if I love you from this kind of distance, 384,400, and then you calculate by, that's the distance, okay? So let's say you can travel in 100 kilometers per hour, so you divide by 100, okay? That left 384 hours, so which means... you divide by 24, that is 160 days. Okay, 160 days. Now, which means, you will be away for, okay, you won't drive like 24 hours, right? Continue 24 hours, kind of. So probably you divide by, 8 in that sense. Okay, so that will take you, let's say take half, all right? So that will take 2, all right, then divided by, 24, okay, you ended up going to travel at least, 8-9 months. So in other words, when you love, say somebody, I love you from the moon and come back, that means you won't see this person for the next 8 months, okay? But you say, I love you, okay? Now, Okay, so I mean, that's one side of the joke on that. But again, here, when you look at the sun, okay, the how far is the sun from Earth? Okay, it's none. Okay, maybe some of us never look into this anymore, right? So it's 149 billion, okay, kilometer. That is about 149 million, okay, kilometer away. The sun, you know, sometimes when there's full moon, when you look at moon, wow, the moon is so near, and we all take photos because the moon is so near, but it's so far, all right? But then when you look at the sun, it's so far, but the heat is crazy, right? Especially during Chinese New Year. It's so hot, okay, so hot, all right? Now, so talking about so far and so near, how many of us have had so many experiences of things that are so near and yet so far? Or so far and so near? I don't know which one you want to use that. How many of you tried to catch a plane? It's so near and yet so far. You know, there's a one time we were in Philippines, we were coming back from Montima, that means somewhere Subic area coming down, but our luggage is in Alabang. You know, if you know Philippines, that means we are coming from the north. Okay, the driver that took us have to go through all these towns and get to the south. Okay, so as we go through, it was like 5 a.m. we set off. Okay, but we got stuck in Cuba, which is a town that you can't even cross. Let me see. You can't even cross 1 kilometer in 1 hour. Both Mio and I was like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, are we going to forget our luggage? Okay, because this driver is going to pass by the airport and drive down to south to pick up our luggage and come back to the airport. Wow, we are praying like anything. Okay, praying like, so it's like when we saw the airport, it's like so near but so far. Maybe it's a bit hard for you to understand. Okay, when Mid Valley opens, for us who are not familiar with Kuala Lumpur, we are going KL for the first time and you're driving and you saw the Mid Valley. Whoa, we have reached Mid Valley. But after that, how come we are going to the other direction? All right, Mid Valley was so near, but yet so far. Tonight, you're going to watch your World Cup, yes? Is it going to miss by one ball, one goal? Okay, we're going to watch that. All right, now. This series started, okay, because of this scripture. Okay, we hear that in the part one, part two. Okay, when Paul was writing, was in this journey, that he said that he made from one man every nation, okay, of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel the way toward Him and find Him. And that is where the word God is near comes in. Yeah, He is actually not far from each one of us. So God is near, He is not far, okay, from each and every one, okay, of us. So in this series, we hear from that, okay, Jesus and a fisherman. Yes, last Sunday, we hear from Pastor Tim, okay, the Jesus and Samaritan woman. Today, okay, part three, I'm going to talk about Jesus and the centurion. Say with me, centurion. All right, and we're going to look at the passage from Matthew chapter 8. Verse 5, okay, 13. What is this story all about? Interesting, okay, that we're going to explore. All right, now, I'm going to read just a couple of verses. We pray and then we continue to explore. All right, now, verse 5. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. For only say the word, my servant will be healed." Let's pray. Father God, we commit, okay, this morning before you, even as we explore your word in Matthew chapter 8, as we talk about Christmas series, message series, Lord, God is near. Help us, Lord, okay, to open our hearts, right, to know that you are near us and that you are not far away. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. All right, now, Jesus here entered the town called Capernaum. I do not know whether you have been to Capernaum. Some of you have opportunity to be to visit the Holy Land. Okay, Mio and I, okay, and that time, Evan Sue also with us. Okay, we were in our Every Nation, Malaysia, organized a trip to Holy Land. Okay, we were there. Okay, we were right at this, in front of this place. Mio, will you remember? I tried to search my photos, but it couldn't come out. All right, now anyway, maybe the hard disk too old. Okay, now anyway, okay. So this photo I took from Google. So it's written there, Capernaum, the town of Jesus. All right, that Capernaum is the town of Jesus. If you look at the Bible, talking about Capernaum, friends, a lot of happenings, okay, in the town of Capernaum. Now, where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Christmas. We only ask this question during Christmas. Jesus was born in Bethlehem long time ago in Bethlehem. Correct, right? Now, but Jesus grew up in Nazareth. If you go to my Facebook, the background that the photo I took, okay, was the town called Nazareth right now. But most of his ministry, okay, is in the Sea of Galilee, around there, all right now. But where Jesus lived, because around there are towns, and Jesus lived most of his time in Capernaum, okay, until so much, okay, Capernaum is known as the town of Jesus. Okay, where was your pastor born? Telok Intan. So it is a town of Pastor, okay, now, okay. So now it's going, right? Now, so with that, if you were to read Matthew 4:13, it says that's where Jesus lived. Where Jesus lived? In Capernaum, because that's how he grew, right? Now, some of you probably born in Taiping, all right? And then study in New Zealand, okay? And then work in Penang, you know, things like that. So Jesus has this package as well, all right? So if you were to go to Capernaum, okay, you will see this, all right, now. Fascinating, okay, if you were to read stories, what happened in Capernaum, Jesus did a lot of teaching, okay, in the town called Capernaum. If you also healing, cast out demons, all those, okay, can you read? Now, how many of you remember a story in Mark chapter 2? When you read about the four men who saw the paralytic, and what they did, these four men carry him, okay, to the house, open up the ceiling, okay, or the roof, and have that paralytic being lowered down. Is it in Capernaum? All right, now. Also, don't, we were there, we also went to Peter's house. If you could read, now, because he was showing us the Peter's house. You also see the synagogue, but the synagogue is already in a ruin, all right, and Peter's house now is a church, okay, it's a church. And then we were there and crossing to, so when you read the Bible about Jesus in the Peter's house, and then he walked over to the synagogue. Actually, he just walked across, okay, to the synagogue. All right, it's just interesting. All right, so many things that took place. Also, the question about this disciple asked, who is the greatest? Also, in the town called Capernaum. Now, when you talk about Jesus walked on water, it's also nearby, okay, Capernaum, of course, in the Sea of Galilee. The question about, by there, there's also the beach, okay, there's also a place where Jesus come to a place where Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? It's also nearby, okay? It's also nearby, okay? Things like, just interesting, okay? You just look at some of this town that, okay, Jesus lived in. So, this is the Sea of Galilee, all right? Sea of Galilee, and there is Capernaum, okay? Capernaum, okay? Capernaum, okay? Capernaum, and this Bata, okay? So, what happened was, when we were there, okay, after Capernaum, we took a boat and this boat didn't cross, actually go one round and come to this place called Tapta, all right? It's where they serve us the Peter's fish. Okay, talking about feeding the 5,000, it's also around that area, okay, feeding the 5,000. So it's just amazing, all right? Now, so a little bit about the town of Capernaum, okay, where the centurion, okay, met Jesus, came out and met Jesus. All right, now, talking about a centurion. Who is a centurion? Okay, centurion is a Roman officer. That means over 100 men, okay, in the Roman army. Okay, when you talk about a century, means 100, it's 100, a century means 100 years. Century egg? Oh, you eat 100 egg. No, it's just kidding. Okay, all right, now. So, a centurion means he's a captain, okay, of 100 soldiers, slightly more than 100 soldiers, all right, now. Fun fact is that if you have 6 centuries of soldiers, that means it's about 600 men, okay, that is called one cohort, okay, one cohort. And 10 cohort of men will make one Roman legion, 6,000 soldiers, all right, now. So a little bit about centurion is such that when they are being assigned, okay, this 100 men, okay, that goes with this captain, okay, this 100 men will live and die with this centurion because this is our captain. You follow his order. And centurion will actually love them, okay, because they will go out and they'll fight and they will, it's like life and death, okay. They are like, you know, coming together, that kind of bonding, okay, they have. Now, if you were to read about centurion in the Bible, somehow in the Gospel and the Acts, you will all see the centurion is always like a gentleman, okay, of high character, and they have this kind of sense of duty. And this man is no exception, all right? Because when you read about this story, his love, okay, for his servant, all right? Now, in the New Testament, it uses about 21 times of the word centurion. And in fact, there's another famous centurion that was written in Mark chapter 15, okay, who watched Jesus die. The famous phrase of this centurion is none other than, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Or maybe we can do one movie out of that. Surely this man is Chive. All right, okay, thank you. Okay, so here is one centurion, okay, concerned about his paralyzed servant. So here is a story, it's like, it's so near and yet it's so far. All right, let's look at continue the story. Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. Now you have this situation, you go to Jesus. Jesus, my servant is dying. He's paralyzed. He only need a miracle. You know what? When you come to Jesus, you expect Jesus to come, right? So Jesus says, I will come and I'll heal him. But here it's like so near yet so far. Jesus already there. All right, now verse 8. The centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. For only say the word and my servant will be healed. Friends, when Jesus said, I will come and heal, Jesus never hesitated, okay, even to answer the prayer. To accept, okay, the invitation. The story here is Jesus, centurion, and his servant. Okay, we do not know much of the servant, but that we know that this young servant is suffering, and I don't know, when you suffer, what you go through, every now and then you will groan, okay, in pain. I don't know about the centurion, the captain, seeing this, they see his servant suffering. Okay, one way is to plead, okay, for Jesus to come. And here Jesus said, I will come and will heal him. All right. Now, when you think about army, or in those days, or when you watch movies, okay, when your army, all right, they are going war, they're fighting and all those. When all of them injured, what did they do? One is to save him. The other one, you waste me no time. That's it. Okay, they buried you. They say their prayer, move on. Because they cannot have another casualty to just go on, okay? Everybody will suffer. There's no medication, okay, that they could ever, all right, minister. So those days, it's like, that's all, ini karila, die. Okay, now, no mercy, no wasting time of everybody, right? And here was Jesus says, I will come and heal him, but yet, okay, the centurion says, I am not worthy. Jesus said, I'm coming! But the centurion said, don't come. How many of you get ready? You so get ready, you want to go, okay? Your friends is in need, you want to go and you want to start your engine already, and then you need to set off now or else you'll miss, all right? And then your friend call up, please don't come. So near, okay, yet, okay, so far. Okay, in that sense, Jesus never make it to the centurion home, okay, because the centurion will not let him come. Right? So near, yet so far. I don't know whether you have such experience, okay? The doctor is already here, but then miss it right now. Let's move on the stories. Okay, verse 9. The centurion continued to say, verse 9. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, he goes, and to another, come, he comes, and to my servant, do this. And he does it. What is the centurion trying to say? The centurion is trying to say this. Okay, number one, I'm a man under authority. Okay, I expect instant obedience. So that means he recognized what authority is. He recognized what it means to give a command. When I give a command, I expect obedience. That means all these 100 people under him, when he say go, everybody go. Nobody will question anything, it will go, all right? When I give a command, I do not need to be there. So in other words, when I say go, they go and perform what needs to be done. I do not need to follow them to them and to see that they have done their work. So these people are under zero supervision, in a sense. When they are sent to go, they go, all right, and do it. Three, Jesus so in other words, you're saying, Jesus, you have unlimited power. Just say the word. You know, sometimes when you think about this centurion, how you wish all those under you, they are like that. Okay, you tell them to do, they go, okay, and accomplish what God, told them to do. And here was, okay, this man saw Jesus, and knowing what Jesus could do, okay, Jesus' life is all around, okay, that Sea of Galilee, the Capernaum and all those. This centurion who have seen and heard, okay, what Jesus has done. He just said, Jesus, you don't have to waste your time. Just say the word, and my servant, okay, will be healed. The centurion has a posture of a military man, and he speaks like one because he's a man under authority, and he recognized, okay, Jesus' authority, right? So the centurion's faith somehow, okay, has become above, okay, Jesus' expectation. Now it's like so far, and yet so near, because Jesus is so near, but now ask Jesus. So now it's like Jesus is like so far, okay, but it's near, all right, now. I'll try to explain that, all right, now. With that, Jesus gave, with that, Jesus marvel at what centurion is, okay? When Jesus heard this, Jesus marvel and said those who follow him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel, I found such faith. Can you imagine? The people that they live with, they have the scroll. They have all the promises. They have all the prophecies. And Jesus said this, I found no one except this one who is not a Jew. Except this one who is a Gentile, who recognized my authority, who recognized my word, who recognized the miracle that I'm going to perform. And then in verse 11, Jesus explained a bit more. They're saying, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus said, the day will come. Many who are non-Jew, okay, will come from east, west, okay, will come together. While the sons of kingdom, so compare, okay, contrast to the sons of kingdom, talking about the Israelites, okay, will be thrown into the outer darkness. Okay, Jesus was talking about heaven and hell. Okay, in that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus was saying, the day when I come back, will I see such men who have such faith, okay, in Israel. Okay, when Jesus returned, okay, one day. Friends, the third one I want to say is that either you feel God is far or either you feel God is near, whichever posture you are in, let me tell you, Jesus is near. Jesus is here. A good amen? All right. So in verse 13, Jesus said this, and said to the centurion, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. The servant was healed at that very moment. How many of us have wanted to have such faith? Wow, when you look at this centurion, I hope you also can relate to us. Okay? You know, sometimes when we have all the things in the world, then when we look, even the smaller piece of bread is not important to us. But when we are lack, wow, the little things really treasure, all right? Even when you found a 10-cent coin, wow, this is precious, all right? Even you can't buy anything with 10 cents nowadays, all right? So when you look at this, wow, end of story, okay? This centurion, Win Liao, all right now. How many of us realize that Jesus healed the centurion's servant without a word? Jesus, no need to pray. You realize, okay? Jesus, no need to pray, all right? Because of this centurion's faith, Jesus did something beyond the usual. Jesus not even need to step into this centurion's house. Jesus didn't have to touch him to pray. Jesus not even offer a public prayer. Wow, such faith that this centurion has. If let's say pastor didn't pray for you, you don't backslide. Huh? If pastor didn't visit your home, please don't get upset, all right? So Jesus, not even say a word, not even a public prayer. Say, just go, all right? Your son, your servant is healed. Okay, so whether you feel God is far, whether God is near, Jesus is here to heal and meet your needs. All right, now, as I close, this question. What makes the story significant that God is near? Okay, just quick three thoughts. Number one, it doesn't matter what your background is. God is near. It doesn't matter. Because when you look at this centurion, high position. The servant, low position. The servant, we still do not know whether this soldier, this servant is part of his warrior or not. We do not know. It could be really his servant or slave, because the word slave and servant interchangeably, okay, in the Bible. All right? And they say that this servant is lying, paralyzed, suffering. Friends, whatever background you are or you were, God is near. Okay, you did not have to be a big boss in order for God to be near you. Big boss, small boss, middle boss, or no boss. Okay, whether you are just employee or servant, okay, or even slave, friends, it doesn't matter. Okay, what your background is, God is near. Okay, I preach a message is that when the angel came in Luke chapter 2, spoke to the shepherds, angel said, "I bring good news of great joy for all people." You go and look, Luke chapter 2. Angel came, told the shepherd, for all people. It doesn't matter, okay, whether whatever color you are, okay, whether you're so clever, not so clever. God is, the good news is for you, all right? And whether you seek, no seek, God is near you. Jesus said, "I will come and heal you." That was his first thing. He never even think twice. "I will come and heal him." That's what Jesus said. It's only the centurion said, "Don't come, Jesus. I'm not worthy. Don't come. It's so near, yet so far." All right? Second thing that we can derive from that is, it doesn't matter if you are worthy or not. God is near. Verse 8, where we read just now, "Lord, I am not worthy." Why is it that this centurion say, "I am not worthy"? Now, because of the racial tension, Jesus came to break all those tension. Jesus came to break mindset. Early days, I think many of us who grew up during the 80s, we cannot wear jeans to church, you know. If pastor, even the time when we started our church and we were in Queens Bay area, that Sunday, I think most of our pastors all wear jeans. So there's a family that came. I heard them talking, "Hey, the pastor wear jeans." All right, friends, there was this tension and mindset that Jesus came, okay, to break. And here was where the Jews believed that you cannot enter into any of the Gentile home. So all the Gentile felt that they are not worthy for any of them, okay, Jew, to come into their home. Last week, when we hear the story about Jesus and Samaritan, Pastor Tim went through, okay, what it means. Even for talking about Samaritan woman, all right, and they are outcast, downcast, whatever, all right, because they during the time, they are not given any prominent position. Jesus, in his word, okay, make it a point, okay, to highlight, okay, and the women, okay, precious in his sight, right? So the Jews, most Jews believe that a Gentile home was not worthy, okay, for them to enter, right? And all the more, okay, for Jesus, a great rabbi, okay, to come by, a teacher to come by, how can he be unworthy? How am I going to be worthy, okay, to have Jesus come into my home, Right? So in the way, okay, St. Jerome understand the context. He doesn't want to give Jesus even more deeper trouble and all those. He has such of a heart, okay, humble, okay, sensitive, okay, to what is going on, to spare, okay, Jesus of further persecution. Okay, that is the centurion, okay? But the truth is this, Jesus does not play by your rule. Jesus is not governed, okay, by that. He is not restricted, okay, by whatsoever limitation, okay, that we have. Jesus is the Son of God. He spoke, okay, the word. Okay, last thing. What matters? It matters when you take the chance to come before God. It matters when you take the first step. Take the first step. The centurion came out from his place. He came out the first step, okay, to meet, okay, Jesus. And that is wonderful, right? Okay, he says that he came and talked to Jesus, all right, now. We do not know, okay, if this centurion know so much of Jesus, or how does it go? We do not know. But when I think about his posture, were a man like Jesus, were a great rabbi, were a great teacher, will come into a Gentile home. If this centurion were to keep on thinking like, what if Jesus reject me? What if I go and ask Jesus and Jesus will not show up and will not come? What if I don't disturb, don't bother Jesus, and I do my whatever best way that I know of to cure my servant? What if I go and meet Jesus and Jesus rebuke me because I'm not a Jew? I'm not supposed to talk, okay, to a Jew. But thank God he did not. He was so bold. He has such faith. Okay, they come, okay, before Jesus. Centurion took the step of faith. Likewise, for all of us, okay, at times when we overthink, okay, what if God this, God that, God this, God doesn't play by our rule. Okay, God, come to meet where we are. I will come and heal him. Right? So that's where it will stand. When Jesus heard this, he marveled to those who follow him. I tell you, no one in Israel have I found such. Will you be that centurion? Will they be the one that when Jesus returned one day and he found faith in you? There's a verse in the Bible in James 4:8 says that draw near to God, he will draw near to you. When I was very young, you know, talking about prayer is that if you were to take one step to come before God, Jesus will take 10,000 steps. Of course, it's not written in the Bible, but telling us that wow, you make that one move. Jesus make that 10,000 move, okay, to reach you. Good amen? I hope this short passage, okay, help us, okay, to know that God is near. The centurion. Sometimes we think God is so far, yet he's near. When he's so near and we think that he's so far. Right? So, as I close, where are you today? Question that all of us need to ask this Christmas. Is God seems far away from you? Are you still thinking that God is so near and yet so far? Or he's so far yet so near? But whichever way you feel, let me say that Jesus, okay, is here with you. A good amen? Right? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful God. Father God, we commit all of us into your hands. Having learned this passage about Jesus and the centurion, Help us, Lord, to discover you. Help us, Lord, okay, to draw near to you. Your word says, Lord, when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Father God, I also pray, okay, for all of us who felt that God is so near, yet so far. In many times in our life, especially when we go through the toughest time, whether it's relationship, in terms of finances. But one thing that all of us got to know that, friends, it's not about you trying hard to get close to Jesus. Friends, we don't have to try harder and harder to get close to Jesus. All right? We also no need to try to be nicer this Christmas really to get close to Jesus. Friends, before even Jesus was born, his name was already given. And his name is none other than Emmanuel, God with us. In this Christmas, Father God, I pray for each and every one of us that to know, okay, that God is near us. No matter what we feel, whether you are near or far, you are here, okay, with us. Father God, today I commit all of us into your hands, even as we celebrate Christmas, okay, this coming 25th. Father, I pray, oh God, Lord, as we engage our friends, our family, let there be known, Lord, okay, God is near each and every one of them. I commit all of us into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. Amen.